Acts chapter 26. Now, this is Paul defending himself before Agrippa. And when Jesus first appeared to Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, he had told him, "You're going to witness for me before the kings and the rulers of the earth." And that is what he does. Agrippa said to Paul, "You're permitted to speak for yourself." Paul stretched forth his hand and made his defense. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, that I am to make my defense before you this day concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, because you are an expert in all the customs and questions among the Jews. So please hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was from the beginning among my own nation and at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the beginning, if they're willing to admit it, that after the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand here to be judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers." So the gospel, as Paul says, was in Galatians, was preached to Abraham. And so the hope, the Christian hope, which is the resurrection from the dead and forgiveness of sins in Jesus and eternal life on the earth in God's kingdom, this is actually the hope of the promise that God made to the Jewish fathers. So the gospel was preached to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the form of the promises that God made to them, that they and their seed, the Lord Jesus, and also a great number of people who would be their spiritual descendants, would live forever and would inherit the earth forever. And he goes on, Paul says, "Our 12 tribes earnestly serve day and night, hoping to attain the promises. And concerning this hope, I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why would any of you think it incredible that God resurrects the dead? I truly thought that I should do many things against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this I did in Jerusalem, and I shut up many of the saints in prisons, having got authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. And in all the synagogues, I often punished them, trying to force them to blaspheme." That means that he tortured them. He might have taken a red-hot iron rod and put it on their body and said, "Go on, I'm going to keep doing this until you say I hate Jesus, or God, Jesus doesn't exist," or something like that. So Paul was pretty bad. And he said, "And being furiously angry with them, I persecuted them even in foreign cities. And so I journeyed to Damascus with the authority of the chief priests. But at midday, O king, the one light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the cattle prod.'" So by persecuting the Christians, Saul was persecuting Jesus. And Jesus says, "Ouch, you're hurting me." So then we then are the body of Christ. And all that is done to us, Jesus feels. And likewise, the other way round, if we do nasty things to people who are in the body of Christ, that is what we're doing to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "It's hard for you to kick against the cattle prod." Now that means that when the animals were ploughing, to keep them going the right way, they had a sharp pointy stick that they poked the animals with to keep them going the way they wanted them to. And Jesus is saying to Paul, "You have a conscience. You know I actually exist, that I am the Messiah of Israel, that I did die and was resurrected. And you're going against that in your conscience." And all Paul's anger against the Christians was really because he had a bad conscience. And you see those two things go together, that people who have a bad conscience before God often are very angry people, because there's something in their life they need to sort out. And Paul goes on with the story. "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you persecute. But arise and stand on your feet. For to this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things which I will reveal to you.' delivering you from the people of the Jews and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, the adversary, to God, to the end they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to their repentance. So repentance is not just really just saying, oh yeah, whoopsie. Our lives should reflect that fact. For this cause, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. But having obtained the help that is from God, I stand to this day, testifying both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should happen, that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. So then, true Christianity is a continuation of the message that was taught in the prophets and in the law of Moses. And this is what Paul is saying. But as he made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are mad. Your much learning is turning you mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but I speak words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, to whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And you think, wow, Paul, there he is, maybe in his prison uniform, on trial really for his life, and there he is preaching to these great kings and judges. Actually trying to preach to them while he's on trial for his life. It's really an amazing example of using every opportunity to share the gospel. And Paul said, I will pray to God that whether in a little time or a longer time, not you only, but also all that hear me this day, might become as I am, that is a Christian, apart from these chains. So he really resented being in chains, because he obviously thought of all the things if he didn't have those chains. But in the bigger picture, God knew that in the end, this was what Paul needed. And the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they'd withdrawn, they spoke to each other, saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Well, whether Paul was right or wrong in appealing to Caesar and exactly why he did it, we don't quite know, but we do know that he was totally motivated by wanting to spread the gospel. So next time, we've got Acts 27, which is the journey to Rome and the great shipwreck.